Hello, this is John Allsop, and this is your Internet Marketing 5 a Day. First off, I want to talk about the Jimmy Carr tax avoidance thingamy. I think the reason that it's blown up for him, so if you don't know, Jimmy Carr, he is a comedian, has very much his own style, very kind of, he'll say the things that no one else will say. And he's been part of, I can't remember the name of the program, but there's a kind of evening, I think it's a Wednesday night, a strange night to have it, I think, but a satirical program, very much cobbled together, Jimmy Carr, Lauren Laverne, who else? Two other people who I'll come to in a minute, David Mitchell and Charlie Brooker. And so they've been doing a kind of a late show type style program in which they talk about current issues and adopt a kind of liberal left kind of agenda and, to court popularity. There you go. So that's the kind of basis of that program. And now it turns out, I don't know how it came out, but it turns out that Jimmy Carr has been, storing his income in an offshore manner in order to avoid tax, and he put £3.3 million through that scheme, perfectly legal. But the issue is, and the problem is, one of brand consistency. So if Jimmy Carr is this person, and we believe him to be this person, and we give him money because he's this person, and we support him, and we share his tweets and his Facebook messages, and we go to his concerts, and we buy his DVDs, and we watch his programs, and we support him, and we tell his jokes, and we pass the word around. And then it turns out that he was not like that in the first place. That's a very, very big issue. So that's all about brand consistency. And I do believe, I mean, it's controversial this, but marketing's about the truth. You'll see actually, later on, I think I've got queued up, McDonald's, so watch out for this, it's McDonald's looking, showing you essentially why the burger you get doesn't look quite like the burger that's on the photograph. And they explain it really, really well. So there's some truth coming out there, some honesty, at least in the look of it. I'm sure an activist would look at it and go, you know what, they're not really addressing the issues. But I guess what I'm really saying is, even McDonald's there are recognising that truth and honesty are actually powerful, powerful persuaders. And if you start to hide what you're doing, then, and it's inconsistent with your brand values, then you're going to get into trouble at some point in this world where almost nothing is secret and almost everything is instantly shareable. And so if ever anybody wanted to, you know, in the accounts practice that Jimmy Carr uses, if ever he wanted to, if ever anyone in there wanted to share a little bit of Jimmy Carr's details, you know, on Twitter or with a member of the press, it could just go within, you know, a few hours, totally global. So, now then, there was something else I wanted to say about that. We'll come back to that. So let's move on. A psychological issue. We look for reasons to do nothing. So really, we like the status quo, generally, because I guess change is threatening to some people. You're always going to get flack for changing something. So it's actually difficult to make changes. So we look for reasons to do nothing. So conservatism and inertia are top deciders in terms of what am I going to do? I'll do nothing. Unless there's a really strong reason to do something, then we'll do nothing. So perhaps that's the difference between business, good business, and everything else. I don't know. Because business is set up to look for things to change and to constantly improve. So perhaps that's it's the reason people that are the reason that not everyone is in business is perhaps because being in business means you are constantly looking for change, and it's actually against our nature, or perhaps there's particular kind of characters who would do that. Or perhaps it's about the hierarchy. Perhaps it's about if you have someone at the top who is driving change, but A doesn't have to do the change, and B doesn't really have to live with the change, then they can impose change upon lots of other people. I don't know. But anyway, so if you're in selling, then you're going to have to make the case for change in a very, very strong way, or conservatism and inertia will win out. Here's another good persuader. I've known this for a long, long time. People are, this is enumerated here, people are twice as motivated to avoid losing something as they are motivated to gain something. So you might not say, come to this festival because it'll be great and the sun will be out and you can have a picnic and listen to great music. You might say, don't miss this festival because all your friends are going to be there, they're all going to be talking about it, and it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see this band and this band, you know, playing this set. So if you don't come, you will have missed that big opportunity. So that's the loss kind of side of it. Next up is the business about... Now, back in the day when I went to university the very first time, I went around, I was let in to the girls' dormitory, or not dormitory, but housing complex, in order to knock on doors and campaign for people to give 1% of their income to help disadvantaged people in Africa or wherever it was. And I was absolutely awful at it. Absolutely awful. But the idea was, even then, that the girls would be more likely to buy from a guy, and that the guys had a girl going around their accommodation, knocking on their door and trying to persuade them. So... And this is the principle of, and actually I was treated very kindly by a number of people who kind of, you know, invited me in and gave me a cup of tea and that kind of thing, even though I was completely awful at what I was trying to do. And so if you're going to try and persuade people, this is the principle. You are more likely to buy from someone who is similar to you and who you find attractive. So this is about having pictures on your website of the kind of people who are in your market enjoying your product, so that when others come to your website, they see that people like them have had satisfaction from the product that you're selling. So there was a slight caveat that because obviously the image of women in the media is all screwed up. There is a bit of awareness now of, that you can have good-looking older women. I mean, you know, you really, crikey Moses, you really can. And that it's just, that it's kind of some kind of massive realization is ridiculous. But equally, I think there's some justification in saying that older people think or feel younger inside than they actually look. So when, if you're marketing to 60-year-olds, you might well consider putting 40-year-olds or 50-year-olds on your website, because that's more how those people feel. But whatever. Okay, next one is, now I have kind of stood against graphic design for a while. If you look at some of my websites, they are done sans graphic design, entirely sans graphic design. And that's because with those websites I wanted to make a stand against what I see as graphic design essentially getting all of the budget for a web project. And that's a big problem, because graphic design helps to persuade, fine. It helps to give confidence, and it helps to provide the environment that the very first impression when somebody comes to a website, it provides the initial impression that starts to set up your brand values. So all of those things are kind of important, but very much they're equal. Very much graphic design's equal is usability. Very much graphic design's equal is functionality, that the site does something useful, perhaps even unique or helpful. Very much graphic design's equal is findability and content. So nobody's going to see the graphic design unless it's findable, unless the website's findable. And then there's things like photography and video content, which is just as persuasive as graphic design. And I know that a graphic designer would say, well, we weave photography in, of course. But in terms of budget, you would spend, say, £1,000 on graphic design. You should be spending... My case is that if you spend £1,000 on graphic design for your website, you should also spend £1,000 on usability and £1,000 on content, initial content, £1,000 on photography, and so on. And that's £1,000 on functionality, £1,000 on accessibility, £1,000 on internationalisation, because these are the issues that make your website persuasive. Not just graphic design. And it's just a historic thing that, you know, marketing really originally, the big money power-broking companies were advertising companies. Marketing was advertising for a long while. And advertising was strong copywriting, but graphic, you know. It's only historic that that's become an established industry, and that usability is relatively new. It's really only related to websites, not so much to ads and so on. But very much actually to magazine layout and things like that, but that's another issue. So it's just a historic thing. Usability is very, very important. I mean, the psychology of persuasion as well. You can spend £1,000 on that just to get the... And you could spend... If your website is a in any way using data, or in any way you having products, then you should spend £1,000 on information architecture to get the actual structure of the site right so that people can find what they want. So there's a hell of a lot, you know, that you could spend your money on that would make your website persuasive that isn't graphic design. That's my case, but of course, graphic design is persuasive, as are all those other things, so do think about graphic design, but you already will. The other thing about graphic design is it's, you know, we lead as humans on a visual, you know, where we are, most of us, led by what we see. We're a visual kind of animal, whereas dogs lead by their smell. Some of us lead by our ears. So, you know, there's that whole character thing of people are either visual, owl, or is it kinesthetic, I think, or kinesthetic, I touchy-feely. Most people are visual. I think I'm owl, so about sounds. So in my experience, what happens is you can talk about the website concepts and design and the layout and the kind of thing the website's going to be like, and what kind of stuff we're going to put in it and how we're going to make it down. Yeah. And the client gazes off into the distance. And then you come back a week later and you say, well, I've just mocked up all that stuff, all that heavy stuff we've just been talking about, and I've given it just, I'm not thinking about graphic design yet, but, you know, I've just mocked it up like this for now so that we can see the structure of it and whatnot. And suddenly it's like, well, could we have it pink, and could we have move this over here, and could we... It's visual. People engage on the visual level. But what you've got to realise is, fine, but the only reason you're not engaging in the other side of things, like usability and accessibility and the sales psychology and all the rest of it, is because, not because it's not persuasive, not because it's not important, it's because you don't know anything about it. Everyone knows what they like to look at. And the other problem with that is that if that's the point at which you as a client feel you can contribute to the project and feel engaged with it, then I kind of have to draw back and say, well, we're not designing this for you, although you're paying for it. We're designing it to be attractive to your clients. So, you know, I've had a client say, I want it to be in Everton blue colours because I support Everton. You know, what do you do with that? even at that, you have to, as a client, really resist the idea of getting too involved in the visual side of it. What you can do, actually, and the real thing, is to create the website for as quickly as possible. So strip out all the fancy stuff and just create a website and put it to users and do a usability test and see. You know, you can do things like you can decide whether you want your website to appear functional or highbrow or fun or serious or upbeat. You can decide on all those things, decide what you actually want it to be like, and then you can test that against users to decide whether we've actually achieved it. If so, the job's done, whether you like the look of it or not. And then the problem with that is that actually we buy, as customers, as clients, you buy from a, you know, it's your subconscious buying. So actually, if you don't like the look of it, then you're never going to like the look of it. So all of those things need dealing with when you're doing a website. But I'm talking about it really because if you are a client looking to commission a website, to kind of consider it from the point of view of, you are employing an expert and let the expert do their job, essentially. I think I'll close on that. That's it for today, and it's the weekend, so I'll talk to you on Monday. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.